just someone who spoke to the masses through his music in the early and mid-1960s, made another round, another foray into the heights of popular music in the late 1970s. Bob Dylan, who is Jewish by birth, professed to believe Christianity. So much so that he recorded not one but three albums of, we'll say, Christian music. One of which won a Grammy in 1979. Now, if you remember this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't remember it, you might not even know who Bob Dylan is. So I forgive me for that, for going down memory lane. But he wrote a song called "You've Got to Serve Somebody." And in that song, he goes through verse after verse after verse, five or six verses, describing people in all walks of life, from the well-to-do to the ne'er-do-well. And he says, of them all, you've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And that was the chorus of the song. It was a big hit. It also was highly mocked from a lot of quarters. Now, Bob Dylan was still a big deal. So, you know, there'd be two sides. Some would say, oh, how novel, and others say, well, John Lennon wrote kind of an answer to that, said, you got to serve yourself, just shortly before he died. But Bob Dylan's song came to mind as I read through chapter 27 and 28 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah here stands before the fourth king in his days of ministry. Now, you'll remember that Jeremiah, if we went through it, we would go through it. Jeremiah came in as a prophet during the reign of Josiah, who was the last good king of Judah. Josiah had several sons. When Josiah died, his first son came on the scene and reigned for a bit until he died. And then his brother took on the throne. His brother Jehoiakim took on the throne, whose name we mentioned here at the beginning of this chapter. And then Jehoiakim, who reigned for, like 11 years, he passed off the scene, and his son came on, Jeconiah or Kaniah, or Jehoiachin. He has several names listed, and he lasted. He was 8 years old when he ascended the throne, and he lasted all of 100 days. It tells us that it was 3 months and 10 days, and he gets taken off into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, whom we mentioned, and Nebuchadnezzar takes then Josiah's third son in line, a son named Mattaniah, and at 21 years of age, pronounced says, I've got the seed royal over here in Babylon. You'll be my regent. And so 21-year-old Mattaniah, whom Nebuchadnezzar has renamed Zedekiah, is set on the throne. And so, if you remember from our last chapter, we were in the reign of Jehoiakim. Now we are in the reign of Zedekiah. We're some 12, 13 years in the future. As we've talked about before, Jeremiah is not lineal. Kind of moves back and forth. But we're just hearing about what is happening now at this time. At the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, 21 years old, set on the throne by the emperor of the world, Nebuchadnezzar, it could be a heady experience. And so there is a powwow a summit, a coming together of leaders, and they've come for why? We don't know. Have they just come to congratulate the new king of Judah who has ascended the throne? But Nebuchadnezzar's not there. These are all countries that are under the thumb of the Babylonian Empire. Have they come to talk about throwing the yoke of Babylon off of them? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. Have they just come for some other reason that's unknown to us? Well, I'll tell you why they've come. They've come because God has directed them to be there. Whatever purpose they had in mind for coming, we don't know. But we do know God had a purpose for them to be there. And they are gathered there. And so there's this ambassage that has come from all these surrounding countries. Five countries we see listed here, from Moab and the king of the Ammonites and Tyrus and Zidon and so on and so forth, Edom. And they've come to have their powwow with young Zedekiah. Man, this guy's head's got to be too big to go through the door, you know? I mean, all these people are here. They didn't summon me to come there. They've come here to see me. Well, they forgot one ambassador. And God sends his ambassador, and that's Jeremiah. Now, this is Jeremiah's fourth king to stand before. He is well known. You can imagine when he came in, if he had just come in, it might have been deflating for Zedekiah. But he comes in wearing a yoke. This bar across his shoulders, and it's yoked in bands. I don't know if his arms are restricted in it or exactly how it is, but here he comes in. And not only does he come in to the king's summit adorned like this, but either he or an assistant has brought one for all these other kings. He comes in, passes out, here's my calling card. It's just like the one I'm wearing here. Take this back home. This one's engraved with your name on it. It's for you to take back to your king. And I have a message. Not a message from a king to another king. I have a message from the God of the universe. Which God is that? Well, the one that says, I made heaven and earth. I made all men on the earth. I made all creatures on the earth. And I give the authority over them to whom I will. This is Jeremiah's message. And that person at this time is my servant, Nebuchadnezzar. Now you say, how could Nebuchadnezzar be God's servant? You know, God has had his servants all through the years. He bends men's will to his own. No one is saying Nebuchadnezzar is godly, although we might see that in examples in his life. He does testify that God is the only God at a point in his life. We don't know that point has happened yet here. But God says, he's my servant. I've put him over the whole world. And if you would like to stay in your land and till your own fields, then you'll submit to his authority because I've placed him in authority. You know what? God puts people in authority. He puts in authority whom he will for his purposes. And we can vote or we can rally or we can march or we can do whatever we want. The people that are in authority, God has put them there for his purposes. It's the same today as it was in Jeremiah's day. And Nebuchadnezzar is the man. Did you ever think about why Egypt was such a power in the days of Israel and all his sons? And why Joseph, poor Joseph, who was hated by his brothers, was sold into slavery, and he winds up in Egypt. And then he winds up in prison. And then the next thing, he winds up in Pharaoh's court as Pharaoh's prime minister. Because Egypt had the wherewithal to save the world. And God just moved his man into that place where not only were the Egyptians saved from the famine that came, but so was Joseph's family, and so were people all around the region, because God knew what was going to happen. And God used the tools that were there. Pharaoh, that Pharaoh was, whether he knew it or not, the servant of God. Nebuchadnezzar is the servant of God here. He says, if you want to stay in your lands, if you don't want to be transported and exiled away, then submit. Submit. And Jeremiah says, by the way, those prophets that say, bow up, throw off the yoke, they're not my prophets. They are lying. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. God's message was very simple. Obey, stay, and wait for the day. Because he says, one day, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, I'll deal with them. And then they'll become the servants. But that'll be in my time. That'll be in my time. The rest of the chapter, Jeremiah speaks to the priest the same thing, gives the same warning, gives the same instruction, basically, that we've already read. It does not say how anyone responded to it. You know, you can imagine. Oh no, here comes old Jeremiah, old gloom and doom Jeremiah. We're going to be carried off into captivity. Yeah, some of them have been, but, you know. God's message may or may not have been very well received. Obviously, overall, it was not received because they did go into captivity. But we come to chapter 28. And in chapter 28, we read this. It came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spoke unto me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priest and all the people, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts. This is Hananiah speaking now. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I've broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I'll bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. See, he had gone into exile. With all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. And Jeremiah is right there to hear it. And so Jeremiah says, then prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, and you're ready for it, he's going to blast him. He says, amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words, which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet that prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. So, Jeremiah says, that would be great what you said is going to happen, but I'll tell you what, we're going to have to see it happen. Well, Hananiah thought a little drama was necessary. So, verse 10, Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck. This is 4 months later. Jeremiah's, if you saw him walking down the street, why has he got a yoke on his neck? He takes the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and he broke it. Smashed it to the ground. That's pretty dramatic. Then Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And it says Jeremiah just left. Now, that's pretty exciting. Man, you can hear him, rah, rah, this is great. This is what we've been waiting to hear. He says it's from the God of hosts, the God of Israel, the Lord of the armies. Well, it's the same thing Jeremiah said. Now, if you're there, you may be thinking, how do I know? They both say they come from the Lord. One guy's walking around mopey-dopey, wearing a thing across his shoulders. The other one says, we're going to rise up, we're going to throw it off, we're going to be independent. Glory days are coming. That appeal, that was a pretty appealing message. Jeremiah said, here's how you know. Because what the prophet says comes to pass. You know that in 2 years it didn't come to pass, like Hananiah said. But did people have to wait 2 years to find out? Verse 12, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you've broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. In other words, you've caused these nations to rebel. They're going to feel what a yoke feels like. They could have had a yoke of wood. Now it's a yoke of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. God is not pleased with that. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year you will die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. Now, there is a prophetic utterance. Wonder what happens. Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. That's only 2 months later. He didn't get a whole year. He prophesied 2 years. He only got 2 months. Because a popular message seemed more expedient to him than God's message. God had, at that time, for Judah to follow a particular course of action and to submit themselves under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Hananiah's message was not God's message, it was Satan's message. It's a message to the ego. It's straight out of Psalm 2. The kings of the earth set themselves. Rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, and make no mistake, Hananiah is speaking against the Lord. Psalm 2:3 says, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. The folly of men is that they can be independent of God. To be independent of God. Rebellion is merely siding with the devil's camp. Because you're going to have to serve somebody. You're serving somebody. John Lennon says, well, I'll serve myself. No, you're serving your own demise and destruction. Because you've lined up with the wrong camp. Israel was trading a yoke of wood for a yoke of iron. And if the proof of a prophet is when he says, the Lord says, and it happens, you don't think it wasn't rumored around? Jeremiah said Hananiah would die within a year, and it didn't take 2 months. When we roll forward into the New Testament, if you would, in the Gospel of John. Roll to the Gospel of John, and you won't have to keep your finger in Jeremiah. We won't go back there. So in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus is speaking. Verse 31 of John chapter 8, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, will make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, it's been pointed out before, and I'll remind you again, Israel at this time is occupied by the Roman army. They're part of the Roman Empire. They are servants of Rome. They can't even enact their laws because Rome is there. They would have killed the Lord Jesus themselves, except they didn't have the authority to do it, which is why the Jewish leaders came to the Romans, came to Pilate, and said, well, this man makes himself to be king over us. I mean, that was the accusation to Pilate because they wanted him to see that they thought Jesus was an insurrectionist and somehow that this rabbi with a few followers was going to threaten Caesar. So they're under Rome's thumb. And they say, well, we've never been servant to any man. Well, you are right now. But the Lord Jesus didn't tell them that. He didn't get into a political argument with them about that. He said, truly, truly, verse 34, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you'll be free. In other words, you're servants under Satan's bondage, under Satan's yoke. It's the sin that indwells your heart. Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, made that very clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody is under this condemnation. Everybody is bearing this yoke if they do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior. If you who commits sin, that's proof that you're its servant. Have you sinned? Well, there you are. There's your yoke. But the Son can make you free. There's only one Son. There's only one Son, and He can make you free. Matthew chapter 11. In light of Jeremiah today, I think it helps us grasp something that perhaps misses us most of the time. The end of Matthew 11 are familiar verses that people are comforted by often. And I trust if you don't have it marked in your Bible, you will mark it there today. Matthew 11:28. It's an invitation from the Lord Jesus Himself. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here's an open invitation. You feeling that burden? You feeling that iron yoke on the neck? You feel the heaviness of life and the heartache and the misery and the suffering? He said, you search everywhere for rest. Some people search for it in medication. Some people search for it in pleasure. Some people search for it in prominence or prestige or pride. He said, you're not going to find it in any of those places. But you'll find it in Me. You'll find it in the Son. I'll give you rest. And He says this, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. The men of Psalm 2 were under the mistaken thought that we cast off the yoke of God on us and we're free. The Lord Jesus says the freedom that you get is from coming into My realm, trusting Me as your hope, taking on My yoke. And learn of Me, who submitted Himself to the will of the Father. If we were to go back to John's record of the crucifixion, we read these words. As the Lord Jesus goes to Calvary, He says, Him bearing His cross went forth. Now, sometimes you see reenactors dragging a cross, maybe up a hill or a place, but the idea probably is a cross beam that was then attached to the vertical beam. You see Him? With the beam across His shoulders? Like a yoke. One in submission to the will of the Father. That we could take His yoke, which is easy, His burden, which is light. And for all the struggle, all the heartache, and all the heaviness of life, we can find rest in Him. Paul, writing to the Colossian church, in speaking to them who had put their trust in the Lord Jesus, he described it this way in chapter 1, verse 13. Says, speaking of God the Father who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Of all the opportunities of servants and slaves everywhere, here's one that is unheard of, and that is you have the ability to change your master. You have the ability to change your master. You can swap that burdensome yoke of sin and condemnation and find freedom and peace and rest in the Lord Jesus. Who do you serve today? Father, we give you thanks for your word once again. Father, we thank you for the truths that are portrayed for us, the reality that is written here for our consideration. Father, the message of judgment is a bleak one. It's a hard one. It's one we don't want to hear. But Father, when we understand the reality of it, even as Jeremiah sought to express it to the people in his day, then he could explain to them, here's your hope. Here's your hope. And today, Father, we have a hope that the world needs. In fact, they try to find in all sorts of ways, but Father's only found one way. It's found in the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that we might appreciate this hope and relish it and enjoy it and thank you for it more and more. And as we do so, share it with those around us that they too might have their burdens lifted, that they might have peace and rest in the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Him who has laid down His life for us. We give you thanks for the Lord Jesus in His name. Amen.